Country with your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show that puts country music front and center. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Kevin Bushy is my guest on this edition of In the Country. Kevin, along with Steve Petrie and Kirk Bernard, make up the Hamilton-based group Blind River. Last summer, they scored a radio hit with Ready, Set, Summer, and now they're back at radio with their brand-new single called Fool Around, which we will hear on the show today. My pleasure to welcome Kevin Bushy. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Hey, doing just great. How are things for you besides very busy at the moment?
You know what? Things are real good, bud. We've just been plugging away, trying to, sift through all these latest mixes over the last, month and a bit here. And we're really, really excited to have Fool Around finally ready to go to radio for the rest of the world to hear it.
Awesome. And as you mentioned, a new mix, and I saw you posting about that. How important is that when you hear a song in a rougher form and then you get a new mix, so they've added some stuff to it? What does that feel like to hear the song taken to that next level?
It's one of them scenarios that the whole problem with this process is that you can really overthink it. You can overmix it. There's got to be a point in time where you just kind of sit back after 8 or 9 separate mixes and go, okay, we can't perfect
right.
this anymore. We have to let our baby go. So,
yeah, yeah.
But just to see where it's gone, this song for us has been a song that we've been playing live for the last couple of years. And to see it go from, one of the songs that, the people that, we play it for when we're live in the clubs, they really seem to enjoy it. They get up and they dance to it. They compliment on it. And now to see it go from that stage to us being in the studio with it and finally coming down to the final mix on it, it's a pretty incredible experience. We feel it's been more of a baby of ours, more so than Ready, Set, Summer, because we've been playing it a lot longer.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a really great thing just to finally see it coming out where, we can now start letting everybody hear it in anticipation. So, yeah, we're really, really, really excited about it.
Awesome. Well, it's a really well-written song, and it's undeniably country. It's got that great country play on words on it, too, with Fool Around, and You Want to Fool Around kind of deal.
Yeah, it's a play off of, the whole scenario between, a guy who's not with his girl anymore and who's obviously still in love with her that would do anything for her, and the new guy's introduced and all that kind of thing. And the song was actually written by a gentleman by the name of Jamie Hanna and Alan Miller. The lyric on it, I think, is a really fun, upbeat, up-tempo. We kind of put our own really Blind River spin to this song.
Yep.
I think that we kind of made it our own in a way. And like I said, me and the guys, Kirk and Steve, we couldn't be more proud of this song, and we're really, really excited to see how it's going to go over right across Canada. So,
and we're going to get to the song in just a bit, Kevin. But in the meantime, for those listening who may not know too much about Blind River or maybe the origins of the group, they might know of you guys, but not how you came together. So, how did you and Steve and Kirk form the group?
We put this band together approximately 6 years ago. Kirk and Steve played together throughout the years in an old band called Kodiak years ago. And then Kirk did a few years with a local Hamilton band called the Bareback Riders, really, really great friends of ours. And then I was introduced into the Bareback Riders mix as well and played with them for a little bit. And then it was just a matter of, we all just kind of hit it off when we started hanging out together, and we'd known each other for 7 or 8 years at that point. And we just said, let's throw a unit together and see what happens with it. And
yeah.
When it always came down to finding band names, it was just, none of us really had any creative ideas. So
right.
we used the Conway Twitty method, and we looked at a roadmap, and
exactly.
and we just kind of come up with Blind River. And I remember we played our first gig 6 years ago, and it was at a club in Burlington, and we didn't even have a rehearsal. We just showed up with a song list, and we played. And obviously, I'm sure we had a few wonky songs, but no train wrecks. And, you know, the rest is kind of, you know, we've been together ever since. You know, we love playing together, and we think that we've got a pretty unique blend of what we do. And Steve Petrie, I mean, you know, the guy's a monster guitar player, you know, one of the best guitar players in Canada, bar none. You know, and he's played with guys like Stompin' Tom Connors and Tommy Hunter and
wow.
Nina Paris. Like, he's been around, and Steve's, you know, done a lot throughout his career. And you know, he loves playing the new country stuff and some of the stuff that we're doing and all the stuff, actually. And then of course, you got Kirk Bernard. Kirk Bernard is, you know, he also plays in a traditional country band called South Mountain with Steve Petico and Don Reed.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, we've got between, you know, the caliber of those guys and you know, it just, you know, those guys can sing circles, they can play circles. Like, I mean, they're just phenomenal musicians. They bring everything, they bring their A game every show. And I'm really, really happy and privileged to be surrounded by these guys because they're, you know, they make me sound better and they've made me a better player and a better musician. And they're just really, really great guys off stage as well. So it all helps and the whole unit works and you know, they put up with my touring schedule, and you know, so it just works. And that's the only way to describe it is what we do. It just works.
Yeah, you need that chemistry as a group, don't you? I mean, if guys don't get along or they just don't play in sync for whatever reason, then it's not going to work. You really have to have that chemistry to make it believable on stage and for it to be true.
Absolutely. And we, you know, we pull no punches. We, you know, we go out there and we do our show and we do our thing, and you know, whatever is going to happen throughout the night is going to happen. And you know, one thing that we always, you know, love about our shows is when people come and they interact with us, and you know, they always walk away from our shows, you know, having a really fun time. And,
right.
And you know, they love the antics that, you know, we've been known for, I guess, over the last several years on stage. And it interacts with the fans, and it you know, makes the show a little bit memorable. And at the end of the day, I think that's all you can do. As long as you're, you know, you're putting out a really great product and your, you know, your show's good and the fans are enjoying it, the people that, you know, pay money to come and see you every week, and you know, we're certainly not on the recording level, but they're still coming to the bar, they're still buying drinks, and they're still there dancing to your stuff. So you want to make it as good as you possibly can and make sure that they walk away as happy as they possibly can at the end of the night.
Indeed. And Kevin, when you guys perform, of course, you're doing your originals, Ready, Set, Summer, Fool Around, and other songs, but what kind of cover songs do you do in your shows?
What aren't we doing, really? More like it.
We cover quite a bit.
Range, Dave. I mean, the great thing about the dynamic of this band is we can do anything from traditional Merle Haggard and Conway Twitty and Buck Owens right up to, you know, the Keith Urbans, the Toby Keiths. And so we combine a lot of the old and the new. And you know, it's kind of like we tend to be a little bit of, you know, karaoke on the side of, and I don't like to use that word a lot of times, but
sure.
It just, you know, when fans jump out and they want to request a song, you know, there usually isn't too many songs that we won't attempt. So, you know, unless it's a Carrie Underwood song or anything like that. But, yeah, I mean, it's just a great mix. But we also throw some really great classic rock stuff in our show, some Brian Adams, some Trooper, some, you know, Grand Funk Railroad, some Hootie and the Blowfish. Like, you know, so we tend to mix it up as much as we possibly can just to keep. I mean, we don't do any ballads in our show.
Okay.
So this is where we're going to have an interesting thing when with Linger, because Linger's the only ballad that we do, and we've always had a, you know, not really a mandate, but in our live shows that we just don't do ballads. We save the ballads for the DJs, and we're on for 45 minutes each set, and we want to keep people up on the dance floor for 45 minutes straight. So, but
that makes,
you know,
sense.
That's going to change. Yeah, absolutely.
That makes sense. Yeah, keep it high energy, and I mean, you throw a ballad in there, and it's going to slow things down. You want to keep going, but it's good that you've got that ballad because, of course, our listeners will want to hear how Blind River sounds on a positive love song, and that's coming up a bit later. The website, too, is blindriverband.ca for our listeners to check out. Now, you had last time you were on the show, and today as well, you talked about Conway Twitty a bit, and let's talk about him, but you mentioned about the roadmap thing and picking a name. I think, is it Conway, Texas, and Twitty, Arkansas is where he got his name from? Because it's Harold Jenkins.
Harold Jenkins. I thought that was one of the greatest stories ever. Like, I mean, the guy is such an icon in country music, and that's how he got his stage name. Like, I think that's amazing.
It doesn't sound, I mean, Twitty, I guess, sounds a bit different, but it sounded like his real name, but that's the story behind the name for those who didn't know. Now, so he was one of your, I guess, country idols growing up. What was it about Conway that you enjoyed so much, Kevin?
He was the very first country and western show I ever saw. Him and Carole Baker at Hamilton Place. I think I was 11 years old or 12 years old. And he came out in the rhinestones and the glitter, and my jaw hit the ground, and I was like, man, I want to be that guy.
Yeah.
And then, of course, as you get older and coming from, you know, East Coast roots in the Maritimes, my parents being Maritimers and Kirk being from Prince Edward Island and Stevie having Cape Breton roots, you know,
right.
we've all grown up on traditional country music. So, you know, for Conway and just, you know, that was my first real exposure to a live scenario. I mean, I'd listened to country music my whole entire life since I was a baby, thanks to my mom and dad. But just to see that show the very first time, and then to hear that guy's voice.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of funny because you don't really, I mean, you like it, but I don't think you really get the true appreciation for it until you get older. And then you kind of understand, you know, the lyrics a little bit more, and you kind of, you know, you develop this one-on-one relation to the artist. I think a lot of times
right.
what a lot of people do. And I really did that with Conway's music and Merle Haggard's music as well, and George Jones and all that kind of thing, because it's all about the story, and those guys were fantastic storytellers.
That's so true, because you could appreciate the music as I did and you did when we were younger here in Conway, and probably not knowing exactly what it was about or how much emotion went into it, but you appreciate it even more as you go on. And I mean, Conway and George Jones and Charlie Pride, I mean, so many, Merle Haggard, the list goes on and on. There's so many classic songs that are still great to hear today.
Oh, it seems to be, you know, it's funny because at our live shows we get so many people that are requesting more and more of the older traditional stuff. And, you know, we do acoustic shows sometimes where, you know, people will request, like, we'll do like a whole afternoon of traditional country because Kirk is like a traditional country jukebox.
Right.
That guy knows so much traditional country, it is unbelievable. And, you know, and then he'll just blurt out a song, tell Stevie the key, and they're into it. Like, and I'm like, who is it? And next thing you know, you're into the song. So, you know, and that's one of the other appreciations too, I think, that I've got in playing with Steve and Kirk, is that, you know, they've really, really, you know, upped, you know, my love and appreciation back to my love and appreciation for traditional country. Just hearing, you know, Kirk sing these amazing traditional country songs night after night. Like, I mean, he does, you know, some of the Vern Gosden stuff. And I mean, you know, just to hear him sing it, just it'll rip your heart out. And we've recently started doing I'm Over You by Keith Whitley.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, you know, it's just kind of, it's really, really cool to really get in and be able to sing some of that stuff with him and Stevie. And yeah, I don't know. I love the old traditional country roots. Absolutely. 100%. So
awesome. Yeah. Those are great, great songs you mentioned there, especially the Keith Whitley one. Before we get to Fool Around, I want to play that, but let's talk about fans and just how much they support you and are important. And we'll give a big shout out to Cindy Esrick, who had been waiting for this interview for a while and promoting it online, and so we know she's listening for a fact and excited. So fans, how important are they?
They're critical. They're absolutely critical. I mean, you know, people like Cindy and, you know, who we call the machine, and Cindy is one of the, you know, great ones out there that really, you know, whether or not we're on Twitter, she's retweeting or she's reposting something from Facebook. And, you know, Linda Ewing is another one. You know, these people come in and they just really, you know, they embrace and they believe in what we're doing, and, you know, they help to spread the word. And I mean, you know, our whole mandate with this thing is not to become superstars or any of that kind of stuff. We just love what we do. So, I mean, if we're able just to, you know, release some singles to radio, play some live shows and meet some new people and they really dig what we do, then we've accomplished our mission. If something happens, you know, that we're fortunate enough that we earn the ability to tour across Canada doing our music and all that kind of stuff, and then that's the goal, and that would be amazing. But when you have people like, you know, the Cindy's and Linda's and Lauren's and like all these people that just jump in and constantly are helping promote us and getting the word out there, I mean, they're the reason that help independent bands such as ourselves get to the next level, because it's the scenario of you tell two friends, they'll tell two friends, and so on and so forth. So they're absolutely critical, I think, in the development. And, you know, they're when we're not on the ball as far as tweeting or Facebooking, they are. So you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just like, kind of, because sometimes you get a little lax in it when, you know, you're in the studio and it's like, oh, we're in the studio again today. And, you know, you don't want to bore these people and just talk about nothing. Even though some people like just hearing about nothing,
yep, yeah,
but
true.
They're absolutely,
in,
yeah, they're ab- They're absolutely instrumental in you know, keeping our name out there and help spreading the good word, and they're believers in what we do, and I mean, you can't buy that kind of loyalty, and that's what makes country fans and friends so really, really great.
Yeah, country fans are especially like that, as you say. They're so loyal and so passionate about the artist. Let's turn to the song now. We'll send it out to all your fans out there and encourage them as well to call their local radio station, their local country station, and request this song so that it can start to get played more and start to make an impact on the charts. This is Blind River, made up of Kevin Bushy, Steve Petrie, and Kirk Bernard. Their brand-new single called Fool Around here on In the Country.
Haven't seen that guy before. That foolish grin on his face is the same one I once wore. Oh, I swore that I was over you. I'm a lying fool. And I'd gladly take his place.
Radio single from Blind River that is called Fool Around. My guest is Kevin Bushy from the group and the website blindriverband.ca. Now, you were telling me before we went on the air, Kevin, that you released Ready, Set, Summer last summer, and now the new single, but there isn't a full album yet, but these are singles people can purchase off of iTunes at this point?
Yeah, we're going to have Fool Around up on iTunes on the 25th. We've got the rest of the record recorded, so we're still plugging away at that, so we're into the mixing stages of that as well. But our whole plan on this thing was to, you know, we initiated the start of the record and doing the 6-song EP, and that's the way that it started out. And then, you know, with touring schedules and studio schedules and everybody else's schedules, sometimes it was very, very difficult to get everybody all together. So we've had to really do bits and pieces and move a lot of dates and schedule, reschedule and whatnot. So,
yeah.
You know, we figured, well, you know, we've got a pretty good opportunity here to follow Ready, Set, Summer up. So let's focus on the next two singles, Fool Around and then Linger being the third. You know, so let's focus on that. And then by the time, you know, we get Fool Around done and all that kind of stuff, then we'll have the rest of the tracks, hopefully, fingers crossed, mixed and ready to go and whatnot. But it kind of shifted the focus a little bit just because, as an independent act, I mean, it costs money to put a record out. And, you know, it's one of them things that, you know, will definitely come down the pipe. But we wanted to just to get these two first out to radio. And we really needed to follow up Ready, Set, Summer. And although we don't want to rush anything, we felt that, you know, we've taken some good time with Fool Around. We're real happy where it's sitting. And the rest of the songs will all fall in place on the record, you know, within the next little while, indeed.
Now, on the songwriting side of things, last time you were around, we talked about this. You've had a cut with John Landry on his album, Changing Man, and Stacey Ziggers, Living the Dream, which you also, I understand, wrote something with her recently as well.
When I was in Nashville recently, me and Stacey came down to do a couple of shows, and we managed to cram an afternoon in. She's very busy, so we managed to cram an afternoon in where she came in, and we hammered out a really, really cool song called "Bad Boys and Whiskey." And
nice title.
We're going to finish it. It's not totally finished yet, but.
Yeah.
You know, I really enjoy writing with her. I mean, I think we have a really cool dynamic when we get together, idea-wise, she's one of the first females that I've co-written with. But it just seems that we've got a really cool. We're kind of on the same wavelength when it comes to different ideas, and I kind of know where she's going to go, and she kind of knows where I'm going to go in certain elements of it. So, you know, we hope to get together and do some more writing yet before the spring is finished, and because she's going to be working on another record as well. So. Yeah, but she plugs away and you know, I just love songwriting. I'll write with a monkey. I don't care. I just love to write songs.
Yeah, it's such a thrilling feeling, isn't it, when you're creating something out of nothing? Do you have any tips or philosophies, Kevin, for any of the songwriters out there? You know, how they should prepare for a writing session, for example? Should they go in with a bunch of ideas, a couple of ideas, just a title, a full song? What's your approach to that?
Well, you know, I might not be the best one to be asking advice to that because I'm not certainly accomplished in the way that a lot of these other writers are accomplished that I've been fortunate enough to write with. However, my approach to it is this. I mean, even if it's just me, Stephen Kirk, sitting down and writing, and you know, we've got a lot of plans coming up that we're going to sit down and we're going to take a seriously run at you know, writing songs quite often and whatnot. But I mean, my whole approach is just. Everything starts with an idea, whether it be, you know, a music idea or a lyric idea. And I find sometimes that, you know, I tend to hit walls lyrically a lot of times, and I've got these really cool melodies music-wise. But melody-wise, when it comes to lyrics, sometimes I just hit a wall. And that's why I love co-writing so much, because you can actually take this idea and then somebody else sees it in a different light, and then the song just evolves and it gets pulled out of you. It's always been there. Sometimes it just takes that a second person to really bring it out and evolve it. And, you know, I like to just throw a bunch of stuff against the wall and whatever sticks, let's start with that. And, you know, I think that, you know, at the end of the day, whether or not it's good, decent, or really bad.
Right. And then, of course, when you have that opinion, and you would know because you know songs, but also when you go with Blind River in front of a crowd and playing, say, Fool Around for the first time, you're going to hear a reaction, see a reaction if they're getting up and dancing.
There's that element. I remember when we played, I think we debuted Linger at the CMT Festival last year. And that was the one set that we did all originals, all the songs from our upcoming record and whatnot. And we had so many people that came back to us. But that song seemed to strike a nerve with everybody just because of the message lyrically in the song and whatnot. So, you know, that's the one song that I wrote with Bruce Wallace when I was down there. And that was my real nervous, you know, writing experience with him, because it was like the first idea that I presented to him, the first ideas that me and him had conquered, or the first song that we had wrote together based on that idea together. This was the first one that I was presenting to him, so that one was really, really nervous. But in the end, I think that Linger turned out, you know, fantastic. And but just when you're playing it and you know you've got that fan reaction that, you know, somebody comes up to you and says, you know, that song is like, that song made me laugh and it made me cry. It's
right.
Like, I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else to say to somebody when they say that, but it's like, obviously it hit home, and that's
yeah.
all you can ask, really, when you write a song that, you know, people connect to it, they like it, and they can relate to it.
And Blind River, as you said, does so much up-tempo stuff in the shows especially. So this is a ballad we're going to be hearing in a little bit longer. What about other ballads? Is there like a country or pop ballad, Kevin, that you particularly like to sing that you connect with and enjoy delivering?
My all-time favorite song to do live, ballad-wise, is Sing Me Back Home by Merle Haggard.
Oh, yeah.
I do it almost every show.
That's a great song. Now, that's about a prisoner,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah,
yeah, beautiful.
Yeah. And it's always been one of my favorite Merle songs, and you know, I can connect to the song as far as when I sing it, I can feel it, and it's just one of them songs that I just absolutely love doing live, and you know, Kirk jumps in on the harmony with Stevie, and it just, I don't know, that's the one ballad. And anything new, I mean, I don't really do, personally, myself in our show any new style of ballads. Everything that I'm doing is kind of on the older kind of taste of things, but Kirk's more the balladeer. He likes to do like the Garth Brookses of the world and all that kind of stuff. So I like to keep it up tempo and driving home. But I'm really, really, really digging this Keith Whitley song, I'm Over You. I've been doing that acoustically the last couple of times, and I'll probably pull it out this weekend in Oshawa as well. So that's probably one of my second favorite ones now, for sure.
And I love hearing songs done acoustically, stripped down. You're hearing the vocal, the guitar, and the song is really getting showcased, and it's not being, you know, not necessarily lost, but it's you're putting it more front center than it would if the band was playing.
Yeah, and it's you've got no room for error when you're doing it acoustically, basically. So you gotta, yeah. I'm the same way. I love it. You know, I love playing these little acoustic shows that we do. And to me, they just, you know, it's a completely different vibe. I mean, we love the up-tempo live shows and the club shows and the crowds partying and having fun and all that. But, yeah, when you strip it down and you've got three guys with three guitars and three vocals and that's all it is, that to me is a pretty intimate thing and definitely one of my favorite things to do with these guys as well.
That's great. Well, let's get to the song we've talked about for a bit called Linger, the ballad that the group is doing and releasing. At some point it'll be available on iTunes. And you mentioned a bit about the song, but what would you like listeners to get from this song when they listen to it?
This song stemmed from a recording session that I did with Bruce Wallace. And it was funny because we were talking about, we had this long 3.5-hour conversation one day about relationships and whatnot. And we kind of went through some similar things in our life as far as marriages and exes and all that kind of thing goes. And it was, you know, it was kind of those things where, you know, you're with somebody, you know, you still love them and all that kind of stuff. And these great, really great memories just keep on hanging on. And you know, they still linger and whatnot. And this is basically the stem of the song. And I think that when you're able to take what you're feeling and you write it down on a piece of paper and it comes out in a song, and it's like, you get reactions like, you know, I wanted to laugh in that song. I wanted to cry, but it's that song sent me through a roller coaster of emotions. And when you have people, I mean, I think it'll hit home more so with the female demographic. But when you have a song like that, I think that hits people like that on an emotional level. I think that you've done your justice as a songwriter, I think, and release something that somebody can relate to. And I love hearing stories about that, like, as, you know, as sad as they are, but they're also happy. So, I mean, it's a good thing and a bad thing, but it's also, you know, therapy in a lot of ways too. So this song kind of comes out as a negative and a positive, you know, with the overall picture being a positive at the end of the day. So.
Awesome. Well, let's share the song now. It's called Linger. The group is Blind River with my guest, Kevin Bushy, along with Steve Petrie and Kirk Bernard. This is Linger on In the Country.
You were something I always dreamed of. I found you and it all fell into place.
I could see us for a lifetime. With every smile I saw across your face, it felt like heaven. Sometimes it still does. I wish that I could understand how you fell out of love. Tell me why does it linger? All the emptiness I'm feeling without you. You said goodbye. You had your reasons. Now I want you back.
There's some brand new music from Blind River here on In the Country. That is called Linger. And my guest is Kevin Bushy from the group. Their website is blindriverband.ca. You can get all the latest news from them there. Facebook as well and Twitter. Kevin, I wanted to ask you about CMT Crossroads. If you guys were given the opportunity, Blind River, to be on that show, who would you pick? And you can speak for the band, of course, since you're here. And they're not. Who would you pick? To join you guys on stage, and they would do some of your songs, and you would cover some of theirs, and it would be one of those kind of nights.
Oh, wow. Do you ever put a guy on the spot?
I'll put on the Jeopardy music that, now.
Yeah, dude, that's honestly, that's a serious question.
I
think it would – I know Kirk would probably have a different answer than Stevie and myself, and
sure.
You know, Kirk would probably want somebody that's, you know, more of a traditional feel. And Stevie likes to rock out too, so I think he would definitely like somebody on the rock side. I don't even know. Like, that is like probably the best question ever. I have to say, personally, I think it would be an interesting combination, and I hate to use this, but probably a Bon Jovi kind of thing.
Right.
That would just be because, you know, I've just absolutely loved the songwriting of John Bon Jovi and Richie Sambora over the years. I mean, they've done something right, selling 125-something million records with all the hits they've had. But I just think that when it comes to songwriting, I really, really really love lyrically what those guys do. It's just he's been one of my all-time favorites, even way back in the day when he first came out, when none of the guys would ever admit they were Bon Jovi fans. Well, I was the guy that was admitting I was a Bon Jovi fan because I love the writing of what they were doing. Crossroads, I would have to say, like, that would probably be like an ultimate goal. Or an ultimate dream for sure. Someone like, you know, like a Keith Urban as well would be really, really cool.
Yep.
I love his material, as do the guys, Stevie and Kirk both. You know, and I think that, you know, those two probably are the top two that really come to mind, I think, for me.
Nice. Good. Yeah, good answers there. I put you on the spot, but you came up with two
wow.
good answers.
Oh.
I wanted to ask you as well, you guys have opened for some acts in the past, of course, Aaron Prichette, Derek Rattan, Aaron Lyons, Amanda Wilkinson, to name a few of them. What's that like opening up for some of the bigger names in country music?
I think it's a great experience. It's, you know, you get to reach, you know, a pretty big fan base that you would normally never get to come in front of. And, you know, country music is thriving in this country, and especially Canadian country music. I mean, we have some outstanding talent here. I wish we had a broader market that we could share to the rest of the world, and I wish we had, you know, more means to get it to the rest of the world at a higher level, because
right.
I think that, you know, there's a lot of people out there that really don't know some of our great artists in this country, and you know, it's a shame because there's some unbelievable singer-songwriters in this country. There's some really fantastic songwriters that have, you know, migrated to Nashville and write songs for other people and all that kind of thing. But, you know, I love what we produce in this country and some of the great up-and-coming acts. And you know, I love that I'm able to meet a lot of them and get to tour with some of them and get to know them on a friend level and hear what they have to do as far as, you know, playing the clubs and coming up and seeing, you know, acts just kind of come up through the ranks, like, you know, Tara Orm, for example. I mean, I've known Tara for almost 10 years before she was on Canadian Idol and before she was had a deal and all that kind of stuff. And she was doing, you know, the bar circuit with the rest of us. And just to see her go from, you know, a really great singer that we all knew she was to getting the break on Canadian Idol and coming off two really great records, you know, I just love seeing that, but I mean, I would love to see it on a bigger level. Like, I wish we had the population that the U.S. had just so we could get our Canadian artists out there and get them more exposure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What about talent competitions? You mentioned Canadian Idol. Of course, we've got American Idol out there, The Voice, new one up coming up called Duets. Lana Richie's going to be on that, some other people. Do you enjoy those shows? Do you think they're a good place to find talent?
Not at all. I've never been a huge contest, that kind of thing. And I don't know, it's kind of tough. I mean, I know in the American Idol scenario, you know, it spawned some really great singers like the Carrie Underwoods and the Daughtrys and the Kelly Clarksons and all that. And
sure.
But, you know, I don't know. I've never been a huge fan of it. I don't watch them. I've watched The Voice once. That's a little bit different, I think, in my opinion. I mean, that's something that I would probably watch again just because of the different personalities. Like, you know, I really like Blake Shelton, and I think that I love what he brings to that show, and I love how they're, you know, just kind of they're going to work with the artist and all that kind of thing, and I think that end of it is pretty good. But I guess in terms of, you know, the ones that win always seem to do worse than the ones that play second for whatever reason. as far as career goes. So I've never been a big fan of contests or any of that kind of thing. But, you know, exposure is exposure nowadays, and a lot of artists only have one shot at making an impression. And,
that's
you know,
right.
You got to take whatever shot that you can, I guess, to do it. And that's why, you know, it works for some and it doesn't work for others, I guess you could say. But, yeah, that's my
good.
Two cents on it.
There you go. There's your two cents on talent competitions. Well, as you say, those are sometimes good ways to get exposure and sometimes working your way up through different venues for artists and then getting a record deal, different ways to get there. But, Kevin, I have enjoyed this time once again. We I had you on the show last June, so it's, I guess, about 9 months, so we caught up on all the Blind River stuff you're doing. I know that Cindy, we'll give another shout-out to her, and Charlie Chamney, and Linda Ewing, as you mentioned, and Lauren, and, I mean, names go on and on. We got a lot of listeners and big fans of yours. Thanks for coming back on and sharing the new music.
Well, Dave, thanks for having us. And again, we really, really appreciate, you know, what you're doing in your show. And, you know, for us independent artists that, you know, don't have deals and all that, it gives us a really broad audience to get our, you know, music out there. And you know, we certainly appreciate you giving us the time to play some of our music for you.
Awesome. I really appreciate that. Enjoyed the new songs. Once again, our listeners can head to blindriverband.ca to learn more about the group, and also be sure to call your local country stations and request Blind River's new single called Fool Around. That makes a big difference when you call and ask them to play it. Thanks again. My guest today has been Kevin Bushy from the group Blind River. I'm Dave Woods, and that'll wrap up this edition of In the Country.